Hello and welcome back to the Church of Jesus Christ study session with Come Follow Me. I'm your host Matthew Roberts and this is season 6 episode 17 of this daily study podcast. Thank you so much for joining us once again today as we continue with our study of this week's Come Follow Me materials in the week of May the 27th to June the 2nd, looking at Mosiah chapters 25 to 28. And today we're going to look at Mosiah 27, particularly at the start, but then going into the experience of the sons of Mosiah and Alma, the younger. But before we go into that, we're just going to look at the first seven verses where there is a issue described in verse 1, which is, "And now it came to pass that the persecutions which were inflicted on the church by the unbelievers became so great that the church began to murmur and complain to their leaders concerning the matter. And they did complain to Alma, and Alma laid the case before their king Mosiah, and Mosiah consulted with his priests." So we see here that the people who don't believe in the gospel are persecuting, mocking, or making life basically difficult for the believers of the church. And this is, of course, in a nation where there was a lot of people who had made commitments or covenants to follow the Saviour. So this is probably a minority causing problems, but the challenge or the difficulty or the intensity of the problems were so great that it caused a great problem in the land. And it was persecution because of their beliefs. Mosiah publishes a decree or a proclamation in verse 2, and it says, that there should not be any unbeliever persecute any of those who belong to the church. And there's a strict command throughout all the churches that there should be no persecutions among them, that there should be an equality among all men. And I think that in verse 6, we see the result of this. It says, "And it came to be much peace again in the land, and the people began to be very numerous and began to scatter abroad upon the face of the earth. And the Lord did visit them and prosper them, and they became a large and wealthy people." Now, of course, as we know, this is the cycle we begin to see in the Book of Mormon. Hugh Nibley spoke about this and said, quote, "There is the paradox again, that these people who don't set their hearts on wealth and don't strive for it at all become a large and wealthy people. Brigham Young said, I could easily make this the richest people in the world, but I'm afraid it would destroy them. It says they were a large and wealthy people. It doesn't say they had great fortunes among them," close quote. And this is the paradox, as Hugh Nibley says, that we see in the Book of Mormon. And we see actually in the Bible, and we see in many records of covenant keeping, or from records kept from covenant keeping people, that those who don't seek for riches, those who don't seek for power and wealth, naturally accrue that because of their faithfulness and their goodness. But then we see that those who do become focused on that then get caught in the pride cycle and do eventually lose that. Now, we don't see that in this case. We then move on to verse 8, and we learn about the sons of Mosiah and Alma the younger. And it says in the verse 8, that one of the sons of Alma was numbered among them, he being called Alma after his father. Nevertheless, he became a very wicked and an idolatrous man. And he was a man of many words and did speak much flattery to the people. Therefore, he led many of the people to do after the manner of his iniquities. Now, this is obviously significant because we see here that not only is Alma the younger and his friends, pulling themselves away from the gospel, but also they are leading many of the people to follow suit and do what they're doing. And we see again the impact of the choices of others and what they can have on other people. And in verse 9 it says, "And he became a great hindrance to the prosperity of the church, stealing away the hearts of the people, causing much dissension among the people, giving a chance for the enemy of God to exercise his power over them." And there's a very slight note there, but notice how it mentions the adversary and how Alma the Younger's work and what he did gave a chance for the enemy of God to exercise his power over them. And then in verse 11, we then have the intervention that takes place from the angel. Now, in verse 11, it says, "And as I said unto you, as they were going about rebelling against God, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto them, and he descended, as it were, in a cloud. And he spake, as it were, with a voice of thunder, which caused the earth to shake upon which they stood." So we know that from this event sparks a great number of things, including the repentance and conversion of Alma and the sons of Mosiah. But before we get to that point, I just want to reflect on kind of what's happened up to this point. We know that Alma, sons of Mosiah, use their agency and go about to entice others and lead others away from the Saviour as well. And it is at this moment that an angel is sent. Now we can think, well, there may be a number of reasons why this angel appears to Alma. It may be because he knows the great potential that Alma the Younger has to be, and what he will ultimately be the cause of a huge amount, a great proportion of the writings within the Book of Mormon, Alma the Younger. He will eventually become translated, so good and so righteous is his ministry. It also may be because of the great wickedness it's causing to other people. Not only is Alma and the sons of Mosiah and their friends, know, going about making decisions for themselves to go away from the truth, from the gospel, but also they are leading many people. And this could be also a great challenge, perhaps, to the agency of others as well. But notice that when the angel speaks to Alma, that it is neither of those things that causes the angel to appear. After announcing his presence in verse 13 and saying that the Lord has said that Alma needs to stop trying to overthrow the church. In verse 14 it says, "And again the angel said, Behold, the Lord hath heard the prayers of his people, and also the prayers of his servant Alma, who is thy father. For he has prayed with much faith concerning thee, that thou mightest be brought to the knowledge of the truth. Therefore, for this purpose have I come to convince thee of the power and authority of God, that the prayers of his servants might be answered according to their faith." It is because of the prayers of his father and the prayers of the diligent, sincere saints, the servants of God, that the angel is sent. Not because of Alma, not because of his potential, not because of the others that he's pulling away, but it's because of the prayers of the faithful that the angel comes to convince Alma of the power and authority of God. Now, at this point, of course, Alma can still make a choice to accept or to change because of this event. But notice that, again, it's because of the prayers of the faithful that the angel appears. Paul H. Dunn said, quote, "I suppose the tendency then, as it often seems to be today, was to write him off. But you know the miraculous story of how an angel of the Lord appeared to that young man and how he became one of the greatest missionaries in the Church of Christ. Think of it, the power of paternal prayer. As we consider the challenge of rearing children in a world fraught with temptations, false ideologies, and materialistic enticements, do you not feel the need for guidance and inspiration beyond your human capacity? There is no greater help or strength that a father or mother can obtain than through securing that help from the Lord." Close quote. A great message there about how the power that is available through prayer, just as President Jeffrey R. Holland talked in the last General Conference, is such an important one, and one which we sometimes, I think, neglect, or at least we don't perhaps unlock the true potential of. And so, yeah, I think that this is a wonderful reference there. And we'll continue with the story of Alma the Younger and what happens next tomorrow. Thank you so much for joining us, and until we meet again.